This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again, and welcome to my home. It's my home studio, which is my dining room.
Hey.
It's got a, it has like the perfect Nashville reverb in this, Nashville verb right here. And of course, in front of the dining room table, and are we going to hear music live? You bet we are. Live around the dining room table is every bit a part of this podcast. It's what we do, and I've got a great guest today. First, I want to tell you that I'm a huge fan of Taylor Sheridan, and I watch the Yellowstones. Love the Lioness. Couldn't get enough of Tulsa King. And right now, Landman, I'm addicted. Wow, it's great shows. So when I was doing the Nashville Connection radio show one day, come across this story about his new music competition show. And we talked about it a lot in combination with Blake Shelton. They put together this show. And I thought it was an interesting concept. They take the artists out on the road and they open up for Keith Urban. And they see how they do in front of a live audience. And I'm like, nobody's doing that. But I thought it was really, really cool. Now, if you didn't see it, it's streaming on Paramount. You really should watch it. It's really a good show. Very well done. And if you haven't, well, here's just like, can I play you just like a little taste? Here's a little
taste.
Thank
y'all. Well, I'm so glad to be back in Texas. And I've been chasing this music dream for a long time. My very first day on stage was at 2 days old. My mama is very musical. And so I grew up ranching and playing music and playing for cowboys and cowgirls. And I probably played at more rodeos than I could count. And I always thought that this ain't my first rodeo would make a dang good song.
That's
and I know
sure.
We have rodeo fans in Fort Worth. Yeah. So I finally wrote it. And this fine band and I are going to play it for you. It's called This Ain't My First Rodeo. It's an Olivia Harms original. It goes like this.
Three, four, count it down. That is Olivia Harms. And she is our guest on the Songwriter Podcast. So good to meet you.
So good to meet you. How the heck are you doing?
I am doing fantastic now. Absolutely. Great to sit down in front of you. And I have to congratulate you right off because you are now on episode 250, the record setter on the podcast.
I love it.
The
record setter. You 250. Record. This is amazing.
Well, it goes deeper than that. Okay. So like most of the people I talk to, or a lot of them anyway, like yesterday, I interviewed a gal who started singing at the age of two. And you get some really interesting stories. Like, you know, I started writing at age of six. I was on a swing set writing songs, you know, things like that. It was always cool. And I always, my comment is always, what took you so long to start writing songs? But you, my friend, you started your career. This is amazing. Not 2 years. 2 days.
2 days old. Yeah. Isn't that wild? I think I've got most people beat. I really do. I think I might. And I think it's truly, it's like, I can't take credit for it. I can't. At 2 days old, like I was, I can't.
But you know, it's a cool story. And I thought that'd be a great place to lead.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the story is my mom, Joni Harms, she's a wonderful singer, songwriter. I grew up in music.
Like, in the Western Hall of Fame, right?
Yes, she is. She's a Hall of Fame member. She's a legend. And while she's pregnant with me, she was signed to Capitol Records. Mm. And she was supposed to play at the Portland Speedway with Ricky Skaggs, Lori Morgan, Clint Black, like, great people, right? Like, great.
Yeah.
And I was past my due date, and I was just hanging out, like, didn't want to arrive yet. And so she goes into the doctor, and she's like, look, I've got this show on June 16th, and I really don't want to miss it, because it's with these, like, great people. And luckily, he was a country music fan, and so he says, okay, Joni, well, if Olivia hasn't arrived yet, why don't you come in on the 13th, and we'll induce, and we'll take care of it, and we'll get her on the ground. And sure enough, so June 13th comes around, they put her in room 13. 13, and then at 1:13, which is 13:13 military time.
You gotta be kidding
me. I showed up, and 2 days later, I went to my very first show, and she's like, hey, y'all, look what I did the other day.
I am certain that Taylor Sheridan couldn't have written that.
No. I mean, he can write some far-fetched stuff, but that one is...
That is beyond him.
Yeah, I think so.
It's so cool. When you started to be on the show, he called you, didn't he?
He did.
He recruited you, didn't he?
Yeah, which is kind of wild. I was playing a show in Fort Worth. I had a little like house concert that I did, and I was hired to do it. Oh man, they're the best. Yeah. And this sweet lady had said, "Will you come play in my living room? I'm going to have like four couples, eight guests or so, and I'd really like to have you just come sit and play for my husband's birthday party." And I said, "Okay." And then she said, "Can you like are you good around like high society or you know like high profile people? Like, yeah. Can you hold yourself together?" And I was like, oh yeah, I won't fangirl. I'll be fine.
I bet you that was a nice payday right there.
I'm sure it's all right. I didn't have to hit up the fast food joint on the way home. But I sat down and I started playing, and they kind of gathered in the living room, and I was like, no kidding. That's Nick and Taylor Sheridan right there.
They were there.
And so I played the show. You know, I held my stuff together. I didn't freak out or, you know, get too excited. I got done with it. And, then I thought, well, that was a cool night, you know, like way cool, like pinch yourself, you know, music gives you these crazy opportunities. And then about 10 months later, she called me and she said, hey, I know this is kind of out of the blue, but Taylor Sheridan would like your phone number. Is it okay if I give it to him? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah.
Let me think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't even have to call me. Just hand that sucker out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so yeah. He got in touch with me and said I'd like to get my casting producer.
Did you think
to call.
It was a joke when he called you?
Oh, like, yeah. I was like, I almost hung up on him, you know? Like, I was like, somebody's got to be, like, spamming me or, right. like, game show. Like, who's going to jump out at me now, you know? But, no, I guess it was legit. And
that's so cool.
He'd remembered me. And so, yeah, that was a really surreal moment. And still, like, I mean, a year later, I'm still pinching myself like, was that a dream? Like, how does Taylor Sheridan have my phone number or like that I'm on a show with Blake Shelton and Keith Urban and my name's in there? Like,
Gretchen
that's
Wilson.
Wild.
Yes.
So wild.
Yes. It was an interesting concept. I really enjoyed watching the show. And I'm thinking, how intimidating was it to walk in the room in front of these guys to play these songs? Songs I know you're very familiar with because you've written them and everything, but still, it's got to be a little nerve-wracking, huh?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, it was, I mean, honestly, it was terrifying because like, they had a little bit larger group than the top 12 that they flew to Burbank for executive callbacks. And that's where we did like our formal audition. And I'd never done like a formal audition like that before.
No.
I feel like I've, you know, I'm no stranger to the music business. I grew up in it. Like I've been on a lot of different stages. And so it kind of takes a certain amount to get me nervous. But I think when you know that you're up against, you know, so many other talented artists and then...
And there really was.
Mean, they're all so talented. And then you're sitting in front of an opportunity that you really want. Mm-hmm. And then you're just performing in front of Blake Shelton and Taylor Sheridan and the CBS executives. And you're trying to say, pick me.
Right.
I went in that room and I was doing my audition and I could physically feel my leg shaking and I thought I've got to calm down.
Can't shake my leg.
I got the shaky leg going on.
Man.
But it was, I mean, I got through it and they were all so nice and
But they were good to coach you, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was blown away when they chose me to be a part of the top 12 and then from there on out, like when we got to be with Gretchen and Keith and everyone, they were really great mentors.
Very
for
supportive,
us.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And all cheering for you, you know?
Oh yeah.
I really like that. And you know what I loved about you? You were voted off and not voted off. I don't know what they call it. Eliminated.
I got booted.
You got booted. But your attitude toward that was just so amazing. You know?
Oh, well.
It really was. It was like, you know, I thank God. You know, I mean, this was, you know, you were just thrilled to have been a part of it, huh?
Oh, truly, I was. I mean, and I kind of knew from the get-go, like, I know truly who I am as an artist and as an entertainer.
You stayed true to that, didn't you?
You got to stay in your lane. I would always rather be unique than just go with, you know, go with what's trendy. And I am a big Keith Urban fan. I think he's a wonderful entertainer. But I don't think that any any real person putting a tour together would pair Olivia Harms as a real opener for Keith Urban. I think I might be better suited for a Cody Johnson or George Strait or, you know, like Zach Top, someone like that. Yeah. And I don't take that personally. I just knew right off the get-go that there were some folks that were probably better suited because you're truly just winning over Keith Urban's fan base. That's how the show was structured, is you go out there, they don't even know that they're getting these 12, 11, 10, however many are left, openers, and then they vote from 1 to 10 on who their favorite was. And so, you know, I knew what kind of fan base I was going to entertain, and I knew that they were more like high energy than maybe a cowgirl could typically bring.
It was a different ocean, but you still made a wave.
Absolutely.
And you know, what was so cool is you started in Fort Worth, which was you spent a lot of time in Texas, and you had done a lot of things. So that was kind of... but you're right, it's a different...
It totally was, yeah. I mean, like, Fort Worth is my home away from home. So the Stockyards, I have played in the Stockyards probably almost more than anywhere else. And so just for you to have, like, an honest perspective on it, like, when I landed, spoiler alert, in the bottom three, like, right off the bat, in Fort Worth, and I played a song about rodeo for a town filled with cowboys, I was like... Okay, I know how this is gonna go. Like, I ain't down on myself about it, but like, maybe this crowd, this fan base, is just not gonna be like best suited for Olivia Harms music, and that's totally fine. Really,
I thought you still did an amazing job.
Well,
I mean, just
thank you.
Amazing.
It truly was like such an opportunity, and that's why when I did get booted off and sent home, I mean, all the glory to God, because I got to have this wonderful opportunity and the exposure that you could never put a price tag on, and I really got to find some new fans. Like, you know, I cast a net, and the folks that really like traditional country music like me and like a Zach Top or a Brooks and Dunn, they saw a female playing that music, and hopefully I caught them as a new fan, and that's all I can ask for.
I'm sure you did. Absolutely. So you made good friends on the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, there was a couple that we like really just hit it off. Jenny Tolman.
Jenny,
she's
wonderful. She writes with a good friend of mine, and I've been aware of her for a while.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get her.
Oh, you should. She's wonderful.
She is. Yes.
We hit it off right off the bat. Another one that I really enjoyed was Forrest McCurran. He was kind of your John Prine character on the show.
Oh, yes, I do remember.
Oh, my gosh. He was a kick in the pants.
Again, he was in that same situation, so different from what everybody else was doing. Not really his ocean, but he did well.
He did well, and I mean, he is exactly... who he looks like. You know, he is, you meet him in person and he is exactly the character that you expect him to be that you see on the show. Like just
so
wholesome
cool.
and funny and just like, man, every time I'd be like, I need to go get out some fresh air, Forrest. You know, you want to come? And he's always like, Olivia, I'll come with you, man. Like, I got to get some fresh air. I got to see the birds and the clouds. I just love him. So he was my buddy to go get fresh air with, you know, that's little country bumpkins.
Sounds like a cool guy. Really? You know, I was doing my homework today on you, and I was going through a lot of your videos and watching, and there was one that really touched me today. It was you and your mom singing Amazing Grace.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, there's, I mean, nothing like that family harmony, and we're so blessed to have that.
I dig that. Harmony just grabs me. Your mom in the Western Music Hall of Fame, and so you wouldn't say... She was kind of a hero, right? And a mentor at the same time.
Absolutely.
You grew up around it. And so what was that like?
I don't think you realize how cool your mom is until you're older, you know? Like, I thought everybody's mom was that singer, you know? I mean, 2 days old is when I cut loose for me, so I didn't really know any different for a really long time. I just thought, okay, most kids, like, travel, and, you know, I'd go on the road, and she'd, you know, if my dad couldn't come or whatever, she'd be like, well, you're going to have to, like, if you want to take a nap, go sleep under the table or something. Like, go sleep in the back kitchen. I got to work. Like, you know, I just kind of knew the ropes from the very beginning, and I think that was so instrumental in like learning the music business and truly getting an honest look at it. Because it's always been my dream.
And that was always your dream.
Always my dream.
And she never once tried to steer you away.
I don't think it would be steering away. She was always encouraging, but she was also very honest about what it looked like. And she always told me, like, please don't do this just because I did it. You know, just because mom is a musician, you don't have to do it. Like, it's a hard job. It is hard. You have to have thick skin. And I think as a mom, you know, she watched and was like, I don't want you to go through the same hurts that I've had to go through as a female in country music or just a musician.
Right.
You know, it's really not a very easy job. It's so worth it, but you get way more no's than you ever receive yeses. And it's really a hard road to hoe. But she was always honest about it. She was never a stage mom, never pushing me into it. But when she saw that I was not going to relent or give up, she was like, okay, well, whatever I can do to help, I'm here.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I bet she's so proud of you right now.
Well, I hope so. I sure try to make my friends and family back home proud of their little Canby, Oregon girl.
Canby, Oregon.
Canby, Oregon.
Grew up on the ranch out there.
Yeah. It's been in my family since 1872.
Is that crazy?
So that's amazing. That's why Taylor Sheridan likes me, maybe. I think I've got Yellowstone beat on the age, you know? Like, hey, buddy, you...
Yeah, that started in 1883, right?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, true cowgirl here. True we got cowgirl. Almost 10 years on you, pal.
Yeah. So when did you first start writing songs?
Oh, I mean... The first ones probably weren't, you know, something that I wrote down. I remember I would make up songs when I'd go feed my pony or go out and I'd have to do my chores, you know, go feed the cows or help my dad move hay or whatever we were doing. And I'd just always make up songs about whatever we were doing. And my grandparents lived at the end of the lane. And so my mom said that she could always figure out where I was if she just... was quiet, and then she could hear me singing on the property somewhere, like whether I was headed down to my grandparents or whatever, she could usually find me because I'd be singing to myself.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. And wow. So probably 10 or 11, I started writing real songs. In fact, one of the first ones that I wrote was called Canby. It was about my hometown. I still get requests for it once in a blue moon.
Yeah,
it's a real throwback, but I always figured if I'm going to be a musician and I'm going to go travel around the world and play music, folks ought to know where I come from and who I am. And
I think that's great. You're talking about being true to yourself and writing what you know. Well, you know Canby, right?
That's right. And you can be whatever you want to be and can be. So I don't know that you can do that with every hometown, but I lucked out with that little hook.
Isn't that something? That is awesome. And was that on your first album? The first album came out in like 2011, right? You were 16?
Yeah, I was 16. So it is on the debut album. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a little different. Sometimes people say, how come that one's not out on Spotify? How come you don't have that released? And well, I think I sound quite a bit different also when I recorded that.
Well,
I mean,
you would.
16. Yeah. Taylor Swift was my, you know, my queen right then. And I was writing songs about boys in high school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel like if I have a new fan, and they go to Spotify and they're like, oh, we heard this gal Olivia Harms and we want to listen to her music. And then all of a sudden, like, Teenage Liv comes on the, they might be like, what? So I kind of just keep that reserved for maybe one day we'll release that down the road. If
there you go. Redo it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get the masters.
That's right. Redo it.
Like Taylor Swift did.
Yeah. Swift's version. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. We're known for songs around the dining room table.
I love it.
Always need the story behind the song. So I'm wondering if you, and she's got this beautiful Epiphone jumbo guitar like Emmylou Harris. And can you play us a song and tell us the story?
I would love to.
Gorgeous guitar.
Yes. Let's see. Where should we start?
I don't know. What do you think? You got so many great songs.
Oh, well, you're so sweet. Let's see. Let's start with a true story. So a couple years ago, we all went through this crazy thing called COVID. We all remember that. And I've kind of lived a little bit of everywhere. You know, we've covered that I'm from Oregon, and now I live back on the West Coast in Northern California. But I did live in Nashville for a while until 2020 sent me home because of the lockdowns. And so I was on the ranch, and I was really missing playing music. And I started to see all my songwriting buddies were able to go play music down in Texas. And I thought, okay, well, nobody shuts Texas down. They're kind of a world of their own. So I got to get down there because my dream's not going to chase itself. And so I decided that I would load up my two dogs and buy a travel trailer and hook it up to my pickup. And I was going to go find places to play, and I was just going to live on the road in Texas and keep chasing my dream. And a few folks told me that I couldn't do that because I'm a girl and it's too hard to tow a trailer. And that's all right.
That's all you need to hear.
It spurs you on even more when somebody tells you can't.
Exactly.
So I was in the middle of New Mexico when I finally realized how far away from little old Canby, Oregon I was. And I thought to myself, I'm out here. I'm chasing it. I'm on my way, and I'm never going to look back later in my life and wonder what if. So I wrote this song just in case I ever met anybody else who had a dream they needed a little extra push to chase. Dreamed about those bright lights. Wonder what it feel like. Wishing on a star won't take you far. Played every place in this small town, from the coffee house to the fairgrounds, till I set out on my own. I was born to roam. Don't matter what they say, I'm on my way. I'm gonna try, spread my wings and see if I can fly. No way to tell what's around the bend. This dream keeps moving faster every day. God only knows where this road goes. I'm on my way. Oh, that's right. Mama called me again this morning, checking to see how it's going. 1,000 miles from home, living out here on my own. I said last night I saw smiles on people's faces. They seem to like the music I've been playing. Picking this guitar, praying it'll take me far. I'm closer every day. I'm on my way, yeah. I'm gonna try, spread my wings and see if I can fly. No way to tell what's around the bend. This dream keeps moving faster every day. God only knows where this road goes. I'm on my way. I'm gonna try, spread my wings and see if I can fly. What's around the bend? This dream keeps moving faster every day. God only knows where this road goes. I'm on my way. God only knows where this road goes. I'm on my way. I'm on my way, yeah.
I'm so glad you chose that one to start with. It's a great song. It was my workout music this morning. It was all your catalog, and that was my favorite one when it came
out. Oh, thank you.
Well written. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You had a co-writer on that
one. I did, Ryan Murphy.
And I know
Murphy.
You write a lot of solo writes, but
yeah.
This was a co-write.
Co-write, yeah, with Ryan Murphy, Michael Martin Murphy's son, if you're familiar
Isn't
with him.
That something?
Yeah, we had a great time. I took him that idea, and he was like, oh, man, I love it. And so he helped me finish it up. And so hopefully it spurs a few folks on to chase their dream, because I've never regretted chasing mine, and I don't think you will either.
That's great. And you are flying. That's great. Awesome. Great song.
Thank you.
Very, very good. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Do you and your mom get to ever sing together, besides that one little video we saw of Amazing Grace? Do you guys ever perform together?
We do. Yeah, actually, I'm super excited. We were just booked to play in Norway at a country music festival this summer. And so I'm so excited. She played with Don Williams at, I'm going to butcher it, but it's like Norsk Country Music Fest in Bryne, Norway.
Okay.
And they hired her back, and they saw me on the show, and they said, we want to book the both of you together.
Awesome.
And so, yeah, I'm really excited. So once in a while, we get to do some really fun things together. We usually do like Art of the Cowgirl together. We're going to be in Elko together. We're playing a couple different shows, but we'll probably do, you know, at least one together and share those family harmonies, because they are really special. And it's, I mean, there's nothing like it. You can't pay anyone in the world to have as tight a harmonies as you can with family.
You better post some of those videos.
I will. I will.
And Norway is beautiful.
Oh my gosh. I've never been, and I'm so excited. And I'm Norwegian. I mean, yeah. The blonde and the blue, you know?
Yes, you do. That's absolutely cool.
Yeah.
Well, you go back to your roots then.
That's right. Yeah. My great-great-grandma that I was named after, her name was Olava. And I'm really glad that they didn't name me Olava. You know, I can just imagine the grade school jokes, you know, about Olava. But she was from a small town called Haugesund. And then she came over and went through Ellis Island and made her way to Oregon. And so, I'm excited to go see where she comes from.
I always love the name Olivia.
Really?
And I'll tell you why. My grandmother's name, I believe this is my grandmother's name, was Olive.
Olive.
And she hated that name.
Really?
All of her life. Just olive oil, you know, and Popeye.
Mm-hmm.
And she told us, all us kids, she said, when you get married and you have kids, if you have a daughter, do not name her Olivia. I'm telling you. So my youngest uncle was the first to have a child. And he named her Olivia.
I
love that.
Oh, I love that too. Well, I've always loved my name, and so I haven't got anything, you know, any good stories from it. Lots of people call me Liv, Livy, all that sort of stuff.
Liv,
but
Livy?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful name. Yeah.
Thank you.
But I digress.
That's okay. We love sidebar stories. They're always good.
I'm a squirrel brain.
So am I.
Squirrel. Here we go. I don't know where to go from you. You're doing so many exciting things. Last few years have been really crazy for you, have they?
Yeah.
You got married. You met this cowboy.
I did. Yeah. I met a California cowboy, and I wasn't looking. It's the typical, you know, story. And again, like, so, you know, when I met him, I was totally just focusing on what I was doing and my music. And I had forever had people be like, oh, it's going to happen when you're not looking. You know, you'll find it when you're least expect it. And I was so frustrated when that was truly the story. But I was, of all the places, that's how I knew it was kind of a God thing, is I was playing in my hometown of Canby, Oregon. There's a festival there called the Wild Hare Music Festival.
Get
a wild hare and go.
Yeah.
You bet. And Zach Bryan was the headliner. Oh. And my husband is a pretty big fan. And he's in Northern California, which is about 7 hours from Canby, Oregon. And he said to his best friend, look, this is the closest that Zach Bryan's going to be to us. Let's load up. Let's go to this little podunk music festival and let's go see him. And I was playing like the 2 p.m. slot, you know, like the real wild time, 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I got done with my little rager afternoon show. And I said, Mom, I never get a Saturday evening free in the summertime. So do you want to hang out, especially since we're just in our hometown here, and listen to the rest of the concerts? And she's like, of course, you know, she's a real fun mom. So we were sitting there and listening, and she said, this guy over here, he keeps looking at you, and like, he's cute, you should go say hi. And I was like, Mom, no, I'm here to work, I'm here to have fun, we're girls night, no, Mom, like, no, thank you. And she's still like, okay, come on. And finally, I guess after a little bit of liquid courage on my part, I decided that, you know, he was on my way to the restrooms. And so I figured I'd just say hello on my way past. And I got up there and I realized he was a little better looking than I realized. So I got nervous and I just said, that's a really nice shirt, and chatted him up. And then off I went, and I thought, Mom, I blew it. I did. I blew it. And she said, that's okay. Yeah, well, that's fine. You know, well, we wandered around for a while and then we came back. And before I know it, she said, he's coming back. He's coming back. He wants to buy you some drinks. So he did. And we hung out. And
wow.
Was he a musician? He is not. No, he can't carry a tune, but he's good at carrying a guitar.
Well, that's a plus, right?
That's a plus. Yeah, he's
Can we say
sweet.
His name, or is it?
Oh, no, he's not private. His name is Russell. Oh, Russell Pitter.
My brother's name, Russell.
Yeah, so he's a great guy. Russell the muscle, you know, carrying the guitar. Yeah, no, he's wonderful. And so it's a blessing.
How did he win your heart? What was that? I mean, was it just like, that was it?
No, truly, I tried to push him away, honestly, because I mean, I just, like, I had just bought a house in Texas, and he has a ranch in Northern California, so you can't really move a ranch. He also has his own business. He makes amazing flatbeds and bumpers. He's an incredible welder. Wow. So he's got his own businesses going, and I'm super proud of him for that. But I was like, I know that, you know, truly from experience in dating for, you know, being a musician for a long time. I was like, I'm sure I look shiny and fun to like date, but I'm never around. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be here on the weekends or the holidays. That's when I'm working. You're not going to be able to call me and say, hey, do you want to come like sit on the boat this weekend with my friends? Like, I'm gone all the time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I really promise you probably don't want me. And like, this was fun for dancing and watching the show for a night, but I promise like you're probably better off. And he did not give up, and he was like, no, I think you're different, and I really like you. I'm not afraid of the long distance or anything. And so he just kept chipping away at it, and super supportive, and he totally encourages my dreams. And so yeah, I suppose that, you know, him just being supportive and respectful and just persistent, and you know, he finally won over my heart, and I saw that I couldn't live without him.
Russell, you're my new hero. You really are.
He's a good man.
You have this song called Hey There Cowboy. Was that kind of inspired by Russell?
You know, I always dedicate it to him now, but truly the backstory behind it is actually I used to play, I still do, play tons and tons of rodeos. And so I used to bring some of my girlfriends with me, you know, when we were all single, and I'd be like, I'm playing with the band at the beer garden. Why don't you come? And I'll play. Y'all go scout out the cowboys. And then when I'm done, we can meet up and we can figure out who we want to talk to, you know? So they'd come back and they'd be like, okay, Liv, you know, the show's all done. And we found a couple of them, but they'd always tell me some of the worst pickup lines that they would hear, you know, while I was playing and they were out cowboy hunting. And I'd be like, I just don't understand why they use some of these wretched pickup lines, you know? Like, did it hurt when you fell? Jeez, they're just like, some of them are so awful. Yeah, they really are. And
do you remember any of the worst ones you ever heard?
Oh yeah, I was just telling someone the other day that, you know, like, some of them are nasty too. Like, do you have a mirror in your pocket or whatever? Like, because I can see me in your britches or whatever. Just awful, awful stuff. And so anyway, I thought to myself, you know,
that's terrible.
I know. Yeah, let's just go say hi. Say it's, even if you can only come up with, that's a nice shirt, that's still better.
Dylan Scott, I think it was, he had this great song. It's called How Do I Get in Those Jeans? You ever hear that song? Amazing song. Anyway.
I love it. Anyway. Yeah. So I finally just said, you know, I should write a song. Like, what would we say if we were going to go up and talk to a guy? And I was driving through Nashville, and I'd had a long day of songwriting, and I was just kind of playing around on my way home. And I remember I was kind of busy driving and writing, and I'd come up with this idea, and I took a voice memo, and I was working on it and driving, and I sent it to my friends, and they were like, that's pretty good. And so I kept working on it. And then I realized I'd driven like 25 miles past my exit because I was so enthralled in my writing. And so they encouraged me to finish the song. And I'm really glad I did because it's done all right for me.
You finished it up with your producer.
I did.
Yeah. It's a great song. And we're gonna play it, but I'm going to take a break.
Awesome.
Will you play it live for us when we come back?
I can play it live for you. You bet.
All right. Olivia Harms.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
I may have told you before, we started this podcast in January of 2021, so we were into COVID, and I'm so glad we did, because now we're here's 250th episode, and I was reading somewhere the other day that the average podcast goes like 3 episodes and then disappears, and like 48% will last a year. And so here we are, and I'm just really proud of where we've come, and I just have to thank you out there for listening and spreading the word. We hit that 3 million mark back in December and celebrated it, and so we're on our way to 4,000 worldwide streams, and 4 million, I should say. Yeah, 1,000 is where I thought we'd be. And it's just overwhelming. And I want to thank you for that. I also want to remind you that if you're listening on YouTube, and although we're not a video podcast most of the time because I'm a radio guy, please like and subscribe because that does help us and would appreciate that. And don't forget, too, about the Spotify playlists, the Songwriter Connection songs. Every Wednesday when we publish, I always put up a couple songs from the guest of that day. So, and if you stream those, you aren't going to believe some of the songs that you're going to hear. We've had some great songwriters on this show in the past. So anyway, all that aside, thanks again for joining us. Olivia Harms is our guest. She just told us the story behind this song she's going to play for us right now.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Here's a little song that I wrote thanks to some rodeos and some good times. And if you ever need to borrow a pickup line, this one is just for you. This one's what you can borrow.
Here we go.
Hey there, cowboy, what's your name? I ain't into playing no games. Hey there, cowboy, what you drinking? Yeah, I'll have one too, and I've been thinking, if one drink turns into more, and you dance me around the floor, neath the neon lights so bright, and the jukebox grooving slow, if you play your cards just right, who knows where this could go? Hey there, cowboy. Hey there, cowboy. Hey there, cowboy, why so lonely? There must be a girl you call your one and only. Hey there, cowboy, you kinda look like George Strait. Gotta shoot my shot with you before it's too late. If one drink turns into more, and you dance me around the floor, neath the neon lights so bright, in the jukebox grooving slow, if you play your cards just right, who knows where this could go? Hey there, cowboy.
Our guest on the Songwriter Connection podcast. You like to do the rodeo circuit.
I love the rodeo circuit.
I ran into a guy named Chancey Williams.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You know,
yeah.
Chancey?
I do, the wild guy.
The wild guy is what they call him.
Yeah.
You know, I know he comes to Nashville a lot. I've never met him, but he, on his very first record, did one of my songs. Not only once, but twice.
Oh my gosh, no way.
He did a full band version and he did an acoustic version.
I love that.
So I wanted to thank him for that.
Yeah, yeah, he's a great guy. Another Wyoming fellow that I love is Ian Munsick.
Ian Munsick.
Yeah, big fan of him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there was a time when the chart used to be country and Western.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's just country, but it's like Western music didn't disappear, did it? It's out there.
No, it's still there. It's still there. We keep a little bit of it in our music, you know. Yeah. I love it. In my band, I call them the Roadrunners.
The Roadrunners.
Okay. And we have steel guitar and fiddle. And a lot of times people will say, wow, that's wild that you don't have a lead guitar player. And I say, well, I got steel guitar and fiddle, and I chunk away on the acoustic like Emmylou does. And
that's right.
You know, I love lead guitar also, but if I have to choose just two lead instruments, fiddle and steel are going to be my top choices.
Oh, there you go. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, a couple of years ago, and I just thought this was tragic, Tootsie's here in town, said no more steel guitars on the stage because they feel they fit on the stage and they took up too much room.
Oh, that's tragic.
Like, you're killing country music.
I mean,
what are you doing?
Yeah. I think that has to be my favorite. I love good fiddle too, so it's really tough to choose, but there's nothing like the crying steel guitar. And so the licks that they can do, I don't think there's anything that can come close.
And they, and also, I never tried to play it, but they say it is one of the hardest instruments in the world to play.
Yeah, I mean, I would never attempt it. You know, I you got God
foot
gave
pedals,
me
knee pedals and
God didn't give me a talent like that.
When did you start playing guitar?
I got my very first guitar from Santa Claus when I was 6 years old. Yep, he brought me a baby Taylor and put it under the Christmas tree. And there's a home video somewhere that my parents have where I'm opening it up and I get so excited. And, you know, my eyes are just like massive and I'm so excited. And I say, this is my dream. I'll probably have a couple songs knocked out for you by tonight. Of course, I didn't realize the calluses and everything. But yeah.
Did mom teach you how to play?
You know, she tried, but I'm a stubborn little turd, and I didn't want her help. You know, it's kind of one of those things
learn
where
on your own.
Yeah, you you have a legend at your disposal, and then you just like you want to do it on your own. So yeah. I think it goes back to like you don't realize how cool your parents are until you're older. Mm-hmm. Sometimes
I know, yeah.
And so I just went up in my room, and she'd kind of given me a chord chart. You know, she drew out some things and tried to help me, and. Finally, I was like, I can do it, Mom. I can do it. Like, I'm fine. Yeah. And I'd go up in my room and I'd practice. And
So you're self-taught?
I guess so, yeah. Finally, I kind of...
It's in the blood.
I let her give me some pointers once I realized, like, I'd be kind of dumb not to, but...
You're a good player.
I figured it out.
You're a good player.
Well, thank you.
You too. You really are.
Thank you very much.
And so I want to hear another song, because you're also a great songwriter. And you've written with some great, great folks, like Wood Newton.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I see him around town every now and then, especially when I go into Bobby's Idle Hour. He likes to hang out there. Just a great guy, great songwriter. If you don't know him, look him up. He's written some awesome songs, like Private Malone and many others. And Dennis Morgan. I'm walking out of one of my favorite guitar stores on the day that Merle Haggard passed away.
Oh.
And I was bringing my guitar in to get it worked on. And Dennis was coming out. And he said, oh, you know, are you playing tonight? I go, well, I am. He goes, well, but, you know, I'm just taking this guitar in to get refretted. And he goes, well, I just picked mine up. And I guess I got to learn all these Merle Haggard songs. I relearned these Merle Haggard songs for tonight. And I go, yeah, man, that's so sad. And and I introduced myself. And he said, I'm Dennis Morgan. I'm like, whoa, this is the guy that wrote all these Ronnie Millsap hits that I played on the radio and Barbara Mandrell hits that I heard on the radio.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, you're a lot younger than I thought, man. You know, but what a cool guy. So you had to write with these legends.
I know, such a cool guy. There's a song, and it sounds really good with the band. So I'll give you the little teaser, you know, and then make you go find it on Spotify or something and listen to it. But we wrote a song called Goodbye.
Uh-huh.
And man, I mean, he was such a legend to write with. And he's probably one of them where I walked into the writer's room and I was like, okay. Because you just like you see... all of his accomplishments, you know, all of his accomplishments going in. And for me, I'm a huge, like, traditional 80s, 90s music is my favorite. Like, that's what I was raised on and even further back. And so, I mean, like, Smoky Mountain Rain and just, like, Country When Country Wasn't Cool. Like, all these songs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I have the chance to write with him? And so I'm super grateful that
How did it come about? Did he?
Yeah, I was connected with him through my publisher at BMI, Tom Long.
Good.
He was like, you should have a chance to write with this guy. And he just took a shot on me and said, okay, let's do it. And so we got together and we wrote Goodbye. And it was a great song. You know, it's the gist of the song that we wrote was that, you know, I've had lots of people in my life kind of tell me maybe you can't do this or maybe you shouldn't do this or whatever. And so in the perspective of a song, we said, maybe I'm dating some guy and he says that you should just settle down and have babies. And I say, well, goodbye. And maybe you'll catch me on some of these big stages or on the Jimmy Fallon show or something like that. So it was fun to write with him.
I bet.
We had a good time.
When you're going to a session like that, you go prepared, don't you? Do you have ideas that you run by?
Absolutely.
Tell me about the way you approach your write.
You know, there's always different ways to do it. I've found like you kind of have to mold to who you're with, you know, and then some people have strengths. Like whenever I go write with Wood, he's so good at doing tongue-in-cheek stuff. Like I wrote Kiddie Pool with him. And
I love that song. That's such a cool song.
We had so much fun writing that. So you kind of get to know who you're co-writing with and like bring, you know, whenever I have a kitschy idea or something that's really clever, I usually try to take it to Wood.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other writers I go to when I really want to write a love song or, you know, sometimes if I want to go something that's more like traditional country western, I have those guys or gals. And so like, I feel like you kind of figure out who fits in what category.
Gotcha.
And then from there, I always have a huge list of like ideas on my notes and my phone. And I just, whenever I'm living life or traveling, you get your list of hooks and you go through and you say, well, these are some of the things that I've had. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling like any of these fit with like what you want to write today? And from there, we kind of cut loose. And sometimes you start with just the very beginning of the song and verse to chorus to second verse. Sometimes you start with a strong chorus. Mm-hmm. I found out that that's the beauty of being an artist is there's really no right or wrong way to do it.
And sometimes you think you're writing that chorus and it turns out you're writing that verse.
Yep. It's so true.
And sometimes, you know, you talk. Yeah, I think you have to talk and get to know and examine the idea. And sometimes, like my session the other day, we ended up finally just writing the verse and the chorus. And we're like, okay, let's put it away, friends. It's getting late.
Yeah.
And set up another date. And a lot of people don't realize, now you could take as much time as you want to write that song.
Absolutely.
Right? You know.
Yeah.
It's not just 3.5 minutes and that's it.
You know? Oh, for sure.
And so get it right. You take your time to get it
yes,
right.
Yes, you take your time. And sometimes it just falls out of the sky. Yesterday was a perfect example. I had two writes yesterday. Happens. Oh, yeah. Man. And it just fell out and we were done in like an hour and 10 minutes. And then I went into another write yesterday evening and we worked probably 4 hours to just get a chorus. And you know, some of that is like we hadn't written together before and we're getting to know each other because it's really like going on a date in a way.
So right. You're so right.
You're there kind of be like, okay, and you got to get comfortable with each other to be vulnerable and, you know, talk about ideas and get to know each other. But sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it falls right out.
Yep.
It's just no right or wrong way.
I agree. Good point. And I'm glad because this is a songwriting podcast. So, but I do want to hear another song.
Yes.
Live Around the Dining Room Table.
Okay. Let's do another one.
Fresh from the TV show, The Road.
Yes.
Well, Olivia Harnes.
We've talked about The Road. Why don't I do the very first one that I did on the first episode, the one I was telling you about, a rodeo song that I played in Fort Worth.
Let's do it.
And this is actually one that I wrote by myself. I was kind of experiencing a little bit of writer's block after I had been on the road, like the real road, not the TV show, the real road, like grinding on the road. I had found that, you know, you play over 200 dates a year like I do, and sometimes you just are tired. Yeah. Sometimes you don't want to pick up your guitar and write. And so there for like, you know, 2020, 21, I was kind of just like burnt out on writing. I'd lived in Nashville and I had been told I was way too country for country music, which is wild. But for that time period, I suppose I was. And I had kind of just been like, okay, I'm going to give my songwriting a little break, and I wasn't feeling as inspired. And I remember one of my first large shows that kind of was coming back from COVID was canceled. There was an accident that had happened, and so it got canceled last minute, and I was just frustrated. I was in a hotel room, and my band was out doing whatever they do, and I was kind of, you know, pouting about it probably. And so I called my mom, because that's what you do when things go wrong. You call mama. And she said, you know, maybe you should just pick up your guitar and try writing. And, don't you hate it when your mom says something and you know she's right? Oh, man, I was like, okay, all right, whatever, Mom. And I got off the phone with her, and then I found myself picking up my guitar and doing exactly what she said. But I had this idea that had been floating around for a while, and I thought, nobody's really written it as far as I know, so maybe I'll give it a go. And so it kind of is one of those that fell right out, and it turned into This Ain't My First Rodeo. This little lady was born a runner, chasing down that morning sun. About the time you came along, I was fixing to get gone. Sorry, it's gotta be this way. Maybe I'll come back one day. This ain't my first rodeo. I'll have a good running when it's time to go. I'll leave you in a cloud of dust, driving off in my pickup truck. Darling, don't try to tie me down. Won't be long, I'm leaving town. I break hearts, baby, don't you know? This ain't my first rodeo. Ooh. 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 rolling. Sometimes I let things go too long. Big dreams can leave my heart a mess. Too late for me to change, I guess. Sorry, it's gotta be this way. Maybe I'll come back one day. This ain't my first rodeo. Have a good running when it's time to go. I'll leave you in a cloud of dust, driving off in my pickup truck. Darling, don't try to tie me down. Won't be long, I'm leaving town. I break hearts, baby, don't you know? This ain't my first rodeo. Gotta be this way. Maybe I'll come back one day. This ain't my first rodeo. We'll have a good running when it's time to go. I'll leave you in a cloud of dust, driving off in my pickup truck. Darling, don't try to tie me down. Won't be long, I'm leaving town. I break hearts, baby, don't you know? This ain't my first rodeo. I break hearts, baby, don't you know? This ain't my first rodeo. Thank you.
Lesson behind the songs, we always try to pick out a little something. And for me, on that one, lots on that song. But I mean, what I love, I always talk about the importance of the setup line, the line before the hook. And so I break hearts, don't you know? See, my first rodeo.
Oh.
Hey, you set it up perfectly.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're a great writer, great player. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. You've got a great personality. You've got it all. You got the style. Don't listen to what they say. Keep doing you because you're enough.
Thank you. Good. Thank you very much. Well, I learned pretty early on to blaze my own trail and be happy with it. So
you're doing it, baby. You're doing it.
We may be off the, you know, the tall and uncut out there, but that's okay. I'm happy to be out there.
It's happening for you, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You've got a new single out there called Sent From Above.
Yes.
So, now, come on. Is that about Russell?
It is. You know, you got to have a love song, truly.
Love song.
You know, sometimes.
We'll leave it a love song, too.
Sometimes country music, we're pretty good at the breaking heart song, so.
Yeah. So true.
Sometimes you got to have one for the love songs. And I released that in honor of our first year wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. So, we're already at like a year and a half almost, which
you're
is great.
Weds.
I know we're oldly weds. It's great. But it was really cool. You know, when we went to get married, we were looking at dates and a fun little story. My grandparents were married for a really long time on my harm side, you know, my mom's parents, and they were really influential in my life. And their wedding anniversary was August 10th. And so when we looked at the calendar, August 10th fell on a Saturday, which was great. And we're like, let's do it. And so we told his mom and dad the date that we had in mind. And she said, that sounds familiar, but that's great. Like, that's great. So the next day she comes back and she said, I checked my date book and that was my parents' wedding anniversary. So August 10th, both of our maternal grandparents were married on August 10th. And we were like, okay, I think God likes us.
I think
so
too.
We'll get married.
Again. Aww. Another story Taylor Sheridan couldn't have written.
Yeah, I know. Hitch your wagon to mine. Let's do it.
Well, let's play it. This is the new single, and you'll find it streaming everywhere, right?
Everywhere you want to find it.
Let's stream this to the top, folks. Sent From Above, Olivia Harnish.
One love.
I love the fiddle in that song, Olivia. That's amazing.
Oh, we love that fiddle, man.
Yeah. Fiddles and steel guitars to you.
That's right, yeah. Man. We got to bring her back.
So. Yeah. We're counting on you to help do that.
Oh, you can bet your boots I'll do it.
It's such a pleasure to get to know you. Thank you for sitting down, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This has been really enjoyable and just like a great time. Thanks for giving me a chance to talk about my music.
Yep. And, you know, my pleasure. And people can follow you on, you've got websites and your
website, everywhere. Social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever new thing they have, I'll probably have to be a part of it. So if you want to follow along, see my husband or how cute my dogs are, Olivia Harms.
Your dogs are cute, by the way.
Thank you. I think so too.
Yeah.
But follow along and or come to a live show sometime.
All the best. And thank you again. Appreciate
thank
it. And folks listening at home, thank you. And like I always say, right on.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.
Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.